This is the Life Nomading Podcast with your host, Ian Hoyt, episode number 4. Hey there, everyone. How's it going? I guess you can't really respond since this is sort of a one-way conversation right now, but you could leave a comment and let me know how it's going. I'd love to know. Anyway, we're on episode 4 of the Life Nomading Podcast, which is awesome. Still on one hand, but we're getting there. Today's episode is going to be great. I'm bringing on a guest and a friend of mine, Blake Jamison. He created a product called Tinder Hacks. You'll quickly learn that he's a digital marketing rock star and really just an awesome dude. This is just going to be fun and you're going to get so much insight into e-products, but more importantly, Tinder as well. So sit back, take a listen. I really think you're going to get some awesome value, and we'll see you at the end of the episode. Well, thanks, Blake, for coming on the Life Nomading Podcast. This is actually really exciting. I've had you on a podcast before that never ended up getting produced, so I feel terrible, but I'm really glad that we could actually find time to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think even more exciting stuff to talk about this time.
Definitely, definitely. It's been about a year already. Can you believe it?
Yes. It's been a crazy year for me as well.
It's crazy. But yeah, things have changed definitely in your world and in my world as well. But before we get started, I would really like to just let you, you know, sort of introduce yourself and who you are and what you do and all that fun stuff for our listeners.
Sure. So, like I said, my name is Blake Jamison. I work in digital marketing, primarily in content marketing, and I'm the director of content marketing at an e-commerce company called Pool Supply World that sells swimming pool supplies. And then I also do some Facebook ads consulting on the side and dabbling in some Tinder e-product or digital products. So I wrote a book called Tinder Hacks, which is probably how, if anyone's listening knows me, that's probably how they found me, which is kind of crazy and took off, and I'm sure we'll talk about. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, where the corporate office is for the pool company that I work for, and yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I sort of met you through digital marketing about a year and a half ago. And it's been really cool to see some of the products, some of the things you've been doing, and sort of your progression just in a year. It's sort of crazy with this whole Tinder phenomenon happening. But for people that don't know who Blake the Tinder Man is, you were sort of featured in Adweek for doing something crazy on Tinder. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. So before living in Arizona, I lived in Los Angeles, and the company that I'm working for now was acquired by a much larger company who's based here in Arizona. So they moved me in-house to come do their content marketing. And so I moved to a new town, and I didn't really know anybody except for maybe two or three people outside of my office. And so I decided to use Tinder to meet as many people as I could. And being kind of a data-driven marketer that I am, I just decided to do a little bit of an experiment. So I created this Photoshop. I photoshopped my main Tinder picture and made it look like it said Match of the Day, and it had the Tinder logo, and it was kind of looked like it was endorsed by Tinder itself. And then I just right-swiped tons and tons of people and got a bunch of matches and messages, that some of which referred to that and some of which didn't. But at the end of it all, I took all that data and I basically published this article on Medium that was called, you know, How I Hacked Tinder or something. I don't remember exactly what it was called, but that ended up getting picked up by Adweek, and they reached out to me to do like an interview and kind of a feature. And so I kind of changed some of the things that I was doing on Tinder as far as the pictures and like testing different pickup lines, and gave them a bunch of kind of exclusive, like, next kind of part of the experiment. And that went really well. And then from there, it just kind of daisy-chained across and got covered by tons of different media outlets, Business Insider, MSN, Ask Men. So it just kind of went crazy. And it's funny because it was just like I mentioned, like it was just kind of like a fun way to meet people when I moved to Arizona. And then I was like, well, I might as well just, you know, make some content out of it. And then it just blew up and I totally wasn't expecting it at all. I wasn't doing it to like try and get recognition necessarily. I was just doing it for, you know, entertainment value for my friends. And then it just totally took off.
Right. And I guess that's how some of the best ideas come around. But it's funny because when you first published your Medium article, I actually attempted to do the template that you had for people.
Sure.
It was just funny. I tried it out and it was just sort of awesome. But, you know, it's crazy to, I don't know, Tinder's a whole another ball game, and people may be wondering why I'm having, you know, you, the sort of the quote unquote Tinder hacks guy, on Life Nomading. But mm-hmm. I think you mentioned the whole meeting new people, right? And, you know, when you're going from a city to city, when you're, traveling or, you know, when you want to meet new people, technology is great nowadays. You can meet people through Tinder or Facebook or all that stuff. But I think Tinder has a lot of opportunity. So I sort of wanted to maybe have you talk a little bit about that in your experience in meeting new people with the Tinder app, especially since that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think that it applies to life nomading for kind of two ways. Definitely that way in the aspect of, you know, meeting new people, and Tinder is a great app if you're traveling. But also, that has since evolved into a book, an ebook, which I'm sure we'll talk more about, that is now passive income. And it basically is giving me, giving me means to ultimately be able to be, you know, not tied to any location, which is cool. And it wasn't like the plan, but it just turned into that. And now it's just like, whoa, I need to do more of this stuff because this is crazy. Like, for how much... Yeah, I was very front-loaded in all my work and got it all done. And then once I published the article and then followed up with the book, I haven't really touched it since. But to go back to kind of like using Tinder to meet people. So one thing that I think is worth noting is, you know, I was single at the time. Tinder's obviously a dating app. And I was certainly open to meeting, you know, potential romantic interests as well as just cool people. And I definitely met some cool people, but I was, as far as the romantic side, like I was really, really, I'm pretty particular. So it's not like I went on a crazy amount of dates. I was more concerned with the high funnel stuff, like what messages get replied to, or, you know, what the best way is to get a girl's phone number. And then from there, obviously, I mean, I don't just want to lead someone on and then get them there and then be like, okay, cool, you're now just part of my data set. I definitely, you know, met some cool people, went on some good dates. But like I said, I mean, it was kind of like just a social experiment for me.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, I can relate cause I'm, you know, I do marketing consulting and stuff. And, you know, when I first downloaded Tinder, for the first time, I was like, man, this is a whole new realm of, you know, digital marketing in a sense, but not even that. It's more experimentation and being able to sort of convert your own personal brand in a sense. And I don't want to make it sound like it's shallow or anything, but it's like, it's sort of cool where you can sort of pick and choose an A/B test yourself.
Right. It's right.
Crazy.
You know, the funny thing is, I don't know, something you just said there reminded me of it, but there was an interesting turning point when it did kind of, it got the press in Adweek. And then when it got the press, it got it all very in a concentrated, tight timeline. Right. And when that happened, I mean, a lot of people, kind of the millennials or people our generation, like saw my face on something. And so then when I was on Tinder kind of the following week or month after the kind of press, there was like this aftermath of all of the girls and matches would recognize me and know, be like, oh, you're just the Tinder hacks guy. And some of them loved it and were like, oh, well, we should definitely meet up. I think you're super smart. Like, that was super clever and hilarious. And other people were like, you just right swipe everyone. So I don't really like, you know, kind of seeing how different people react to seeing the same thing.
Yeah, it is crazy. It did blow up so quickly. And I guess that brings me to another point. And it may lead into the ebook or the e-products. But were you prepared for all that? I mean, did you feel like, you know, your online presence, maybe your website or stuff you wanted to capture, Were you prepared for that, like, media blow up that was generating traffic for you and all that fun stuff?
No, not at all. So I had been slacking on my email capture on my own site, and Adweek ended up linking to blakejamison.com. So luckily with that, because the reporter reached out to me and did like an exclusive where he got certain stuff, like I didn't know when it was going to be published, but I knew that it was coming very soon, and I had given him everything he needed for his end. So I did have like a couple days lead time, and I, you know, scrambled. Yeah, exactly. I made sure that I wrote a new blog post on my blog, and I published it right at the top, and then I got my email collection box, and I mean, it's still not where I want it, to be honest, so it certainly wasn't perfect, but it did the job.
It's like a car, though, right? I mean, everyone that has a website, I feel it never feels like it's ever going to be done.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's crazy. I mean, that blow up's happened so quick, and I was like, I wonder if he's, you know, really like excited about this, or if he was just like overloaded with, oh man, I wish I had all that ready to go or not. But
yeah, so I mean, I felt pretty good about my website. What I realized is, and really ultimately what turned into the book, is that people didn't really care that I was a digital, you know, or content marketer or whatever, like right. My site. They were getting into my article and were really most entertained or whatever because of the aspect of Tinder. So what I ended up doing is I modified the original article to add a link to a lead page, just email capture, which basically said, I'm Blake. I wrote this article. I've got this other crazy thing brewing. Sign up to find out what it is. And it was really kind of mysterious because I didn't really know what it was going to be at the time. But I knew that I needed to get emails. And I didn't, unfortunately, do that right away. That was, I don't know, maybe a week after the press storm started. And I started getting a lot of emails a day. So I put one there. I put a Tinder hack specific email capture on a blog article on my site. And a couple things like that. So I started collecting these email addresses, and I think, I mean, I at most maybe got like 15 or 20 in a day, but on average I was getting 5 to 10 every day. Email subs, I mean, that's not bad, faster than I get them on my own site. So I basically just sat on it and let it just run until the email, and I checked it every day though, and when it got up to 200 emails, it was like a Friday. Which I know is not the best time to email, but whatever, these people were cold anyways. Some of them have been sitting on the list collection for at least a few weeks without hearing from me. So I basically said, hey guys, I have great news. I'm going to write a book. It's going to be called Tinder Hacks, and it's going to be just a total expansion on what I did in the article. And I'm actually, you know, rather than just this silly match of the day experiment, I'm going to take it more seriously and try and see like how to get a girl's phone number, or how to get the most possible matches, or what messages get responses. And I had essentially, I kind of written a table of contents for myself for the book. I hadn't actually done the product at all. But I emailed the list, and I basically said, I'm going to launch this on Monday morning. You can prepay for it right now for half the price. I think I told them I was going to sell it for $27, and I told them they could get it for $17. And I just went to sleep, and then I woke up Saturday morning, checked my email, and I had a couple orders. And I'm like, damn, I guess I better write this book. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it happened. You know, it was crazy. I got, you know, I collected money before I made the product, which is not, it's something I should be doing more often, but not something I've been able to replicate.
But wow, that's amazing that you were able to do all that in such a short span and, you know, really capitalize on, you know, the opportunity you're given. I think that's, I mean, it's really awesome. And Tinder Hacks is a perfect example, obviously, of an e-product that is now creating passive income for you. And
Right. Basically
on Life Nomading, you know, we're all about passive income. We're all about, you know, being able to free yourself from a location, but still make money while you live and pursue what you actually want to be doing. So when I talked to you about Tinder Hacks, it was like, man, he's doing it. This is awesome. So maybe just walk us through maybe any advice you have on people that want to get their own e-product up and running quickly, and any advice you have for that.
The first thing that I think applies to anything that I really wish I had done sooner is just start collecting email addresses for a particular interest group. And it can be in any niche. So, you know, like the landing page that I made with lead pages was really simple. It offered them something that wasn't even specific. It was just kind of a mystery, and collected emails. And then I kind of used that list to create, you know, try and figure out what the demand is. So I think that I made a lot of mistakes before making the product, but I think that anybody, that's just going to happen. Nobody could really teach me like how I could have done it better as far as product creation. But I think after I made the product, I kind of hit this, as soon as the press died down and I didn't have as much organic traffic, it was actually really hard to make passive income from. And I tried running Facebook ads, and I did make some money that way, but it cost money and time. So I wasn't making enough to like justify my time. So something that I did and that we talked about the other day is that I put the product on ClickBank, which is like an affiliate network. And that was like the best move that I could have ever made for Tinder Hacks, because now I've got a bunch of other people promoting and doing the marketing and really working on driving the traffic. And I just can sit back and actually like collect, you know, collect my small checks. So, you know, obviously with an affiliate network, you know, you're paying a commission. I think I did a 75% commission. The product itself is $27. Wow. So, you know, after ClickBank fees and I pay my commissions, I only make, I don't know, a little bit over $5 a copy. But if I don't have to touch it at all and they just consistently keep coming, then it's great. And not only that, I mean, I look at like, you know, if I make $1,000 in a month, I know that I'm also making somebody else $3,000. It feels really good to me. And it's kind of motivating. So I think with any product, figuring out how to get affiliates or other people promoting it is going to be great. I mean, coming up with the niche and kind of your angle. I was really in like the right place at the right time with Tinder Hacks, and I stumbled into it by accident. And I've tried to like choose a niche and make a product. I wrote an ebook called Twitter for Actors a few years ago, and that one's on Amazon. And that one, you know, to kind of compare and contrast, makes me $20 a month. And then Tinder Hacks makes anywhere from like $800 to $1,500 a month.
Wow.
And I spent just as much time creating Tinder Hacks as I did to create Twitter for Actors. The problem was there is that it is a targeted niche, and it's great, and there was no competition, and that's great, and it's keyword specific, and that's great, but the market itself was actors, specifically actors that are not necessarily working as much as they want to be, so they can use Twitter or social media to help build their brand. So by design, I kind of ended up, or not by design, by accident, but what ended up being the design of it is I chose people that don't necessarily have a lot of money to spend on digital products. Right. Versus, you know, to kind of polarize that, when it comes to Tinder, I mean, that's, you know, coming down to like dating and attracting the opposite sex. That's like one of those primal urges that it's not just, at that point, like how much money you have doesn't matter. It doesn't make you want it more or less. You just want it a lot, I think, or a lot of people want it a lot. So they don't mind as much paying money, you know, for that kind of product. So I think there were, like, I accidentally stumbled into like a really, really good niche. And I don't know how to teach people how to find that. I think that, you know, the way that I set it up where I had validation before I made or sold my product, that's great. Because if nobody had pre-ordered the book back on that Friday, I just wouldn't have written it. And I would have just tried something different.
And a thing about that is it reminds me of the 4-hour work week with Tim Ferriss. He sort of really hones in on the validation before, you know, production. And right. I think obviously executed that really well. But yeah, I think that's a huge key of it. And I want to also touch on the fact that you're saying you're making around $800 to $1,500 maybe a month, on that product. And, mm-hmm. It's not, you know, people don't need to think unrealistically and like, you know, not everyone's making $5, $10, $20,000 a month on an affiliate product. You can, but I mean, you got to start somewhere. And I think starting and making that per month is great for, you know, being your second product.
Right. And you know what's funny is before this, like with Twitter for Actors, I was always really proud of that, you know, I make something that I wrote a book and it's on Amazon and people buy it and it gets good reviews, and it, and on top of that, I make, you know, 20, maybe 50 bucks a month tops or something. That's freaking cool. And I really liked it. And, you know, I haven't spent a lick of time on anything related to Twitter for Actors in a long, long time. So I'm still proud of that. And then all of a sudden this Tinder Hacks thing happened and it kind of opened my eyes. And I'm like, wow. Because I never, you know, I'd hear that, you know, make $10,000 a month in 2 hours a day. Like, it's just, yeah. you know, you hear all that stuff and eventually it's just like, all right, whatever. People don't actually do that. But all of a sudden, if I'm seeing, and ClickBank with Tinder Hacks pays weekly. So it's just interesting, you know, getting 250, 300 bucks deposited in my account on a Wednesday. And then I kind of forget about it. And then I see it and I'm like, holy crap. I didn't do anything on Tinder Hacks this week. Like, that's just awesome. That's an incredible feeling that if I could duplicate or make 10 of those, like,
just duplicate the crap out of it, right? You know, it's,
well, that's kind of what I was saying, is that there's part of it, yes. I mean, there's definitely an execution part of collect emails ahead of time, establish a fan base around that niche, get in touch with that community, test out what you think that they want, get paid for it, and then make it. You know, that's easier said than done, because I just think that I just really stumbled into something good with Tinder Hacks, and if I can figure out a formula where I can replicate, like, the coming up with the idea, that would be the most valuable.
The golden thing that everyone's trying to find, because if I could find it, then, you know, I'd do really well as well. But,
you know, I'm like tempted, because, you know, I'm always thinking about my next product, and part of me wants to be like, okay, I could write a really, really detailed guide and show all the stats of how I built Tinder Hacks and how it's evolved. Because it wasn't always 800 to 1,500. It was a lot less than that. And I've grown it to that. And now it's steady. But then I'm making a product. You know, I'm making a digital product about how to make money with digital products. It kind of just, I know that so many people do that, but there's something, like, morally confusing to, right, me, you know, to me about that.
And I think there's a big point there also about, you know, validation with, like, who are you to say this? You know, there's plenty of people out there that really make an e-product about how to make an e-product and be successful, yet they've never been successful until they've actually sold that product, which is extremely ironic. And when you're first a hopeful in the, you know, online marketing and online content e-product space, you're sort of naive and you don't learn to buzz all that out. But at first you're like, oh man, I got to read every single one of these. And I think people get bogged down and all that, and they don't make their product. And it comes to another phrase, you know, just ship it. It is a whole big phrase in the e-product world. Just create it and, like, get it out there and stop reading and reading and reading about how to do it and just do it.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, it definitely, there's a lot of that. I mean, I think that with when you're buying a digital product about really any kind of, like, it could be about a diet or a new exercise or how to make money online. And this totally happens to me, at least, and I'm pretty sure it happens to a lot of people, is you kind of get a little bit of, like, comfort or, like, a good feeling just from making that investment. Because it's like, I'm committing, you know, I'm investing in myself.
Right.
Good. I just bought this new cookbook. I'm going to learn to cook. I bought this new exercise plan. I'm going to be, you know, in 6 months, you're not even going to recognize these abs, you know, or whatever. Like, that feels good. But then the follow through is just like, I don't know. I mean, I've paid for products that I've never really, you know, I haven't gone through the modules. I haven't finished the book. At the time, I was doing it because it made me feel like I was doing something.
I've invested a lot of money, especially, you know, last year and, you know, a couple years before that. And, you know, starting businesses online or, like, blogging stuff online and how to write better blog posts and, you know, all these different things. And in a sense, some of them can help you, but at a point, I just feel like there's this apex of information that everything starts sounding the same. And, you know, in your mind, you have all the expert knowledge that you can get, but you're looking for more when there really isn't any. You just need to start executing.
Right. Right.
And so, like, I've found myself at that point lately, and, you know, luckily I've sort of just tuned out a lot of content and just been focusing on my own stuff, and it's helped tremendously. But it's hard. It's hard to zone out all those, you know, sexy titles.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I'm exactly the same way. I think that, you know, also a problem that I think holds people back from actually just creating a product or executing is when you know what you know, it seems obvious. It's just so hard to take an outsider's point of view and understand, like, oh, these things that I've been learning over the past 3 years and are now just really reflex common knowledge, like, you know, those things are valuable information to a lot of people. And I think everybody's an expert in something, and it's so easy to overlook whatever you're an expert in because it's just what you're used to doing, and it doesn't feel like it's any special skill, but when it comes down to it, it's a valuable thing that people are Googling for, you know?
There's an opportunity, I honestly believe, with everyone to create a product. And I wish everyone did, but let's see here. I want to know sort of what inspired you, maybe who inspired you to sort of get in this space and sort of rock it, so to speak.
In terms of creating like passive income products, definitely, you know, you mentioned Tim Ferriss and 4-Hour Workweek. He was a huge influence in kind of lifestyle design. And that just fascinated me.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Flynn, also, who actually I found before I knew Tim Ferriss, I think, with the Smart Passive Income blog. I mean, it was amazing to me to read about this kid and this was when he was way smaller. He's huge now, but he had this website that was making him, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 a month. And it was about security guard training.
And right.
It was just a niche website where it had, you know, the different security guard training requirements for all the different states. And he was doing a Google AdSense and, you know, making $1,500 a month on it. And I was like, man, I could do something like that. So I started tinkering around, and that's when I started learning WordPress. And this was probably, I don't know, 6 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. It was a while. And then I fell out of it, and I kind of got wrapped up in my job and the work, you know, the 9-to-5. And then I got Tim Ferriss's book, and I got back into it. And then I got into social media marketing, and then I found Gary Vaynerchuk. There's so many influences, but I think those three, Tim Ferriss, Pat Flynn, and Gary Vaynerchuk, have been like my biggest in terms of like really like hustling now. So that I don't have to later, even though Gary Vaynerchuk will hustle forever. But
it's funny because I think we agree on, you know, some of our three biggest inspirations in this space. And I mean, they so happen to be some of the bigger, you know, names in the space as well. But Pat Flynn, especially, when I found his stuff, I just soaked it up when I was like a teenager. And then it was all downhill from there, right? I mean, it's crazy to see all these success stories, and it's sort of motivation to continue on and keep working hard at it, because God knows we need that during this time.
So in the last few years, you know, I'd see those guys, and you're right, they are total icons of the industry. But you know, when I first started following Pat, he wasn't making that much money. He wasn't doing anything. He had a big following, but it was still very much in his infancy. He wasn't speaking at, you know, giant conferences. And Gary Vaynerchuk was certainly well-established in business, but not like the social media icon that he is today. I guess Tim Ferriss is probably the only one that was just as big of a megastar back then as he is now. But, you know, and maybe it's because I'm working in social media and it's like 6 degrees of separation kind of has become even smaller. But now those guys I don't know. It's weird. I feel like they're not that far out of reach. You know, I've seen him speak at conferences a few times and gone to like book signing events and chatted with him. But even like that aside, those guys just, I don't know. It's really exciting and terrifying at the same time to think like, oh my God, these guys were like my heroes. And I was like, if I could ever just be like these dudes. And now I'm not saying I'm anything like those guys yet, but like, I just can feel it. Like they're not that far away.
Oh, I totally agree. And obviously with social media nowadays, I mean, I've interacted with Pat Flynn and Gary Vaynerchuk multiple times, you know, and it's sort of crazy. It's just these icons that you look up to. Same with Chris Guillebeau, which wrote the $100 Startup and the Happiness of the Pursuit, you know, I email him. And it's just like, it's crazy to think that we're just in this world where these people you look up to are just within a reach. And if you do something special, you could get their attention when the time is right.
Yeah. I have a, there's a painting that I painted of Muhammad Ali that's hanging in Gary Vaynerchuk's office.
Seriously? That's so cool.
It was right after he did a jab, 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 right hook. And it's a picture of Muhammad Ali after throwing a gnarly right hook. And I hit up his assistant and I'm just like, I want to send Gary a Christmas present. And he's like, all right. And so he gives it to me and I sent him, I boxed up this painting and it was freaking expensive to ship. It's a big painting. And then I didn't ever hear from him. But then Gary did a video at VaynerMedia in his, in like a kind of a tour of his office. And then I saw the painting and I'm like, that's freaking awesome.
That's so cool. I did not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think only me and Gary know that.
Well, now the whole world knows because, you know, they all listen to Life Nomading.
That's right.
But, okay. So you're in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
Where would you say your favorite city, or where do you like to travel to? Since, you know, part of this is all about traveling and moving around. Where do you like to move to?
Well, I moved to Phoenix from Los Angeles, specifically at Santa Monica. And I really, really am passionate about surfing and I love the ocean. So as often as I can, I'm darting back from Arizona to California.
Nice.
I really, really like it there. If I were to move back, I mean, I really like Venice. I just think it's such a cool beach town. San Diego is also really nice. I think something coastal for me would be the ideal spot.
Nice.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I could easily say Costa Rica or something if I'm if I'm going to be fantasizing, I might as well do it right. But
you got to fantasize, man.
I go back to LA as often as I can, usually about twice a month, and it's just such, it's nice. You know, I get an audiobook, I make a 6-hour drive, and have a blast on the beach.
That's what audiobooks are for, man. Dude, I'm so glad that I have long drives every now and then for audiobooks. It's like the perfect combination, right?
Yeah. What's your what's the latest book you read or listened to?
Actually, I just finished up re-listening to The 4-Hour Work Week. So nice. I'm like coming off of this Tim Ferriss high. You know, I actually cut out social media this week, which is really weird because I've done social media consulting, but I cut like all of my information out as much as I could and sort of just focused on things. And I've had like one of the most productive weeks of my life.
That's incredible.
I'm going to obviously integrate social media back in after this week test, but it's going to be on different bases.
Right.
So, yeah, I've definitely seen some big increases just re-listening to that audiobook.
Yeah, I'm due for a listen. I do that about once a year, and I'm definitely due.
And a lot of, I don't want to go on a 4-hour work week tangent, but I will make a note that I think there's a lot of different opinions with that book. I mean, I love it, and I think it's great, and I think people need to take things from it. I don't think people need to adhere to it like a religion, but I think there's so many valuable bits and parts that you can fit into your life that help, that it's worth listening to or reading. And I'll obviously include this in the show notes. It's a really good book.
Yep.
So let's, closing out, I want, since you are, you know, the Tinder hacks guy, you got to give us a little insight into one of your tips or tricks that you would advise our listeners to do if they're on Tinder.
Oh man. Sure.
Don't give it all away because that's what Tinder hacks is for. But
yeah, no worries. So a couple things. I think when people are swiping on Tinder, there's this fun part about it's like a video game kind of, and you're being selective, you know, and I don't know. I just think that people waste too much time looking at the pictures and that the reality is she may or may not like you back and swipe you. So I'd say go very quickly off your gut instinct and be generous with your right swipes, which is liking, you know, or whatever, you know, and then if she likes you, then you match. You can always go in afterwards and you can prune out people that you don't, you know, that you're not attracted to or whatever. But, you know, and then with the next thing, you know, I am a very data-driven dude, so I like to take a single opening line and then test it on 30, 40, 100 people and see if it works and try different lines. What I started doing is I started making keyboard shortcuts in my iPhone where I can just type a couple characters and it populates a whole line. That is massively a time saver rather than trying to type them out every time. The reality is, like, girls are not going to message you first. So you really have to make the move. And hopefully you do it quickly because, you know, it's kind of weird after, you know, you match for a week and then you go and try and message them a week later and be like, hey, how's it going? It's kind of awkward. So the way that you can kind of rekindle that is with Tinder Moments. And I'm not sure, Ian, how much you use Tinder, but Moments are like, you could take a picture or a video or upload or whatever. Actually, just picture. And you post it kind of like your Snapchat story, and it lasts for 24 hours. All of your matches can see it. They can like it or dislike it. It doesn't unmatch you if they dislike it. So what I found out is that if you go to your Moments, there's a really only a select few amount of dudes that actually use Moments, but girls love to go through that shit and just, you know, spend their time looking at the moments of their matches. So what you can do is you can go to your Moments and you upload maybe 5 or 10 pictures very quickly. And you can do, like, I've done like memes from the internet, or I do pictures of, you know, of myself that I take live, or pictures from my photo album. You can do almost anything. And you do like 10 of them. And then when a girl likes your Moments, what happens is that kind of history, like a notification almost, goes into your message log. And what that'll do is it'll actually cover up the date that you match. So if you and I matched, Ian, a week ago, and we haven't talked to each other, but then one of us posts a moment and the other person likes it, all of a sudden that date that we matched a week ago is gone altogether. So there's no weird, like, sorry, this is awkward, I haven't messaged you because it's been a week thing. That's just gone. The last thing that you'll see is today, Ian liked your moment. So what you can do, the reason that I'll do like 10 of them is because the people that'll go through and like moments usually just like a lot of them. So what you'll end up with is, you know, you might match with a girl and then you get too shy and you don't message her. And then it's too long and you can't message her. So instead, you upload a bunch of moments. If she goes through and actually likes all those moments, when you open up that conversation log with the girl, the only thing that's in it is girl liked your moment, girl liked your moment, girl liked your moment, girl liked your moment, girl liked your moment. So then it's really easy to break the ice by just saying, you know, something like, whoa, you know, we're getting pretty serious, or wow, that escalated quickly. That closes. That's awesome. Like, that'll get a response so often because girls don't realize that they're doing it. Because it doesn't show, like, it's not really super clear, like, whose moment it is. So they're thinking it's a bunch of different people's moments they're liking, but it's all yours.
Wow.
Wow.
So that's huge.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
And Tinder Hacks is full of these type of little tidbits of information.
Yeah, I mean, and I talk about that a lot, and I kind of expand, and I actually include a zip file of, like, 50 different images that you can just download to your phone and then use them as your moments.
Wow.
And then I have like a bunch of opening lines, specific lines, and then I give you the response rate. So, you know, the highest one is like 90%. And that one actually does incorporate moments like that. And there's other ones that are, you know, 50 or 60% response, which is pretty high, actually. You know, I think that I've gotten so many matches and tried so many different things, and so many things just fall flat on their face that I don't know. I think it's all really good content, and I've gotten really good feedback from all the dudes that have purchased it. I offer a money back guarantee, so if you don't like it, it's not a big deal. You can still keep the book. And I've had just a very few people hit me up, and I say, yeah, no problem. You know, let me know. Whatever you thought was missing from the book, just let me know and I'll make sure and try and fix it later. And sometimes they feel bad and they're like, oh man, you're so cool. Like, I don't know, never mind, keep my money. And sometimes they want their money back and I'm like, whatever, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
You know, the coolest part is like when guys hit me up and they're like, oh my gosh, like The book is so amazing. I finally went on like 3 dates this week, and they were nines, and I never get to go on dates with nines. Or, you know, like guys just get so excited about it, and that's one of the really fun things, you know, where people will be like, "Man, I got this girl on Tinder, and I really, really like her. We got on a couple dates, and you know, but I'm on Tinder, and I can see she's still on Tinder too. Like, how should I approach that?" And so, kind of dealing with those kind of challenges with these guys is super fun because. It's helping. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to sound like too righteous, but like it's helping people and it's making people feel good.
Right. No, I think Tinder has Tinder. Added a whole new mindset and sort of, I don't know, a whole new things you have to think about when you're using Tinder and when you're dating with Tinder and when you're hanging out with people on Tinder. It's like, you know, you see when people are active and not active. You see if they've looked at stuff or you see if they match you. And there's just so many different aspects that you never really had to worry about. So it's really cool that, you know, you sort of taken it upon yourself to, you know, help out in that way. So that's really awesome. And some of those, I mean, those tips alone that you just included, I mean, I would have never thought about doing. So I think there is a lot of value here, obviously, in the Tinder hacks.
Yeah, I mean, God, there's so much cool stuff you can do. And like you kind of referred to earlier, like you can do A/B testing on yourself. You just get such immediate feedback with it. So that's just so exciting because there's so many people on the platform that you can try something a bunch and then you'll very quickly get like significant results or stats of like, okay, this works or it doesn't.
That's great, and I'm going to have, obviously, the links to where you can find Tinder Hacks if you want to check it out in the show notes in this episode. But, Blake, as we sort of wrap up here, first I want to thank you for being on the episode and taking some time out of your busy day to talk with us. But second, where can people find you, and you know, how can they connect with you and maybe you know talk your ear off or ask you a question or something?
So I think that probably the best is on Twitter. I've really been trying to step up my Twitter game. So my handle is at Blake Jamieson, and Jamieson is Jamieson. Something that I've been having fun with on Twitter specifically is when people reach out to me, I will try and answer if I can with a video tweet, because there's a really new or a really cool, new-ish feature where you can tweet directly to video. And it's been really fun, because kind of like with Tinder Hacks where I did something that no one else did and so I stood out and then I got attention, on Twitter now, like nobody's taking the time to video tweet, but the reality is like I can record a video just as fast as I type. So that's been really fun, and when I get people kind of doing video back, like we really, it's badass.
Yeah, I actually saw that on your Tinder profile and I was like, man, that is awesome. He's really standing out there.
Yeah.
Just a freaking ton of insight into the digital marketing and stuff on here that I think people that are listening that want to sort of start their own blog or website or e-product, I think will find really valuable. So thanks so much for, you know, doing this.
Absolutely, man.
Well, cool. I hope we can have you on again soon. And yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Hopefully by then I'll have a second product for the Tinder Hacks group.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to follow up and see how you're growing and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely, dude.
Well, thanks so much once more, and have a great rest of the day.
Cool, man. You too.
Well, now you know a little more about swiping right on Tinder. Am I right? It's sort of crazy. This was so much fun to talk to Blake about Tinder. It's something in our society that is being used more and more to meet new people. And Blake was able to create a whole new digital marketing age for the Tinder app. I had a chance to download the Tinder Hacks ebook, and I read it and actually implemented some of the things that he talked about in the book. And I will admit, it converted more, and it was amazing. So if you're looking to convert more on Tinder and get the most out of that app, I would highly recommend that you pick yourself up a copy of Tinder Hacks from Blake. He's a great guy and he won't steer you wrong, and I'm just so thankful that he came on the podcast. But furthermore, I'm so thankful for you listening. I really am here to sort of foster conversation and bring value into your brains. So that sounded really creepy, but you get what I meant. So if you could, leave a review, comment somewhere, some shape or form, on what you like and what you dislike about this podcast, and I'll try to change it in the future. But then, again, thank you so much, and I look forward to giving you some more episodes in the coming weeks. Have a great day. See ya.